as we start, we're going to be talking today about looking back, and it's very important that we understand this concept, especially as we're walking with the Lord. You know, I got a gift from my son. My birthday was the other day, and I got a gift from my son. He says, well, you're going to get a gift in the mail. I said, okay, so I'm waiting for it to come. So something comes to the door. I open the door, and there's a package there. It's for Nikki. And so Nikki got a Mother's Day gift from Micah in the mail. And then I was just wondering, okay, well, where's my gift? I mean, come on, Micah. And so it comes later. UPS comes later in the day. This was FedEx who delivered it. So UPS came later in the day and got a package and had Nikki's name on it again. But that turned out to be mine. So he gave me, this was the present. One of them was a magnetic wristband, and you go, ooh, that's so neat. But what it is when you're working on stuff, you put it on, you put the nails and screws and stuff like that. So for all the men, it's really cool. For all the women, they're going, woo, big deal. But it really was a neat thing. But he also gave me, this may come back not just to affect me, but this is going to affect you all someday. He gave me 101 of the best dad jokes ever. How's that sound? So there's nothing better than that. So you all may be hearing that. I'm going to read the whole book to Nikki tonight. It's going to be fantastic. And so you may be hearing some of those jokes later. But today we're talking about looking back. You know, if you all remember back in May, on May 7th, and many of you all will remember this when I talk about it, but there was this plane that crashed in Russia. Do you all remember that story? And there was a plane that took off, and it had an emergency landing. They said that, well, the pilot said it was hit by lightning. But if you see the pictures and if you see the video of it, what you're going to see is you're going to see a picture and a video of a plane taking off. But then when the plane's coming down and landing, the plane lands on the runway and slides on the runway and then just bursts into flames. And you see the back part of the plane's on fire. And so the back part of the plane's on fire, where all of a sudden you see this door open on the front of the plane. Have y'all seen that video? Some of y'all, if not, you can look it up on the CNN or Fox News or something. They'll show it. And the plane opens up on the front, and these people start jumping out of the plane. I mean, they start sliding down the slide. And 41 people lived. You know, the plane's on fire in the back of it. And so they had a big investigation, and the AFA, which is the organization that was looking at this plane wreck, said this: 41 people lived, but there would be more people that would have lived if those people didn't look back and try to get their baggage. And so they were saying, so now there's a big debate and there's a big discussion about what are they going to do now with travelers when it comes to your carry-on baggage. And are they going to need now to say something about that when you're in a plane? Because what was happening was the people were trying to get out of the plane that was on fire, but many of the people were looking back and getting their baggage, and they wanted to get that to make sure they got to take that with them. And what it did is it got in the way of some other people, and some of the people died because of that very reason. So I'm saying that to kind of introduce what I'm talking about, because today we are talking about looking back. And I'm not talking about looking back in such a way that, you know, sometimes it's okay to look back and learn from history. Does that make sense? And we learn from things that are going on. But what I'm saying tonight, what we're going to talk about tonight is looking back. And it is kind of sometimes very dangerous or very, it will hurt us spiritually sometimes to look back at our baggage. Does that make sense? Or to look back to see things that have happened in our life. And if we let those things that have happened in our lives in the past affect our life now, sometimes I think we miss the blessing that God wants for us. Is that fair enough to say? I just believe that's kind of the premise of where we're starting, is that I feel like many people today, they are looking back at some of the stuff that's happened in their life, and they have, and it's affecting how God's using them today. And I don't want any of us in this room to be like that. I would hate for any of us, because of circumstances and because of situations in our past or looking back at our life, that that's affecting how we live today. And we're going to talk about that today. You know, I look in Philippians 3:13, which is kind of the lead scripture of this Bible study that we're doing. And the lead scripture in Philippians 3:13 says this: "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. For one thing I do," and this is a very familiar passage, "forgetting what is behind." So, I mean, that's what the scripture is saying. It's saying, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. So the scripture says in Philippians 3:13, it says one of the things that we need to do in our lives is this. You know, he was saying, I don't have everything together the way that I feel like things need to be together. But this is one thing I do know, and this is one thing I really want to teach you. And that one thing that I want to teach you is this: forgetting what is behind me and straining for what's ahead. And so tonight, as you take your Wednesday worship, and I put some places for us to do some notes in there, I've looked over some scriptures, and I've looked over the Bible to talk about now this thing of looking back. And I kind of want to explain it this way. This is how we have a group in our church that meets in the spring and in the fall. We have a group in our church called Divorce Care. And what Divorce Care is it's a group of people that meet. It's different every semester. But we have a group of people that meet, and they meet to support one another if they're going through a separation or a divorce, to try to help them, because it's a very devastating time in somebody's life when they're going through this. And so one of the things I say to them is this. Let's just say this. Let's just say that this table right here represents your birth, okay? So this is when all of y'all were born. This is, and everybody, I'm not even going to choose the date. You choose the date. But this is the day you were born. Now, it's appointed for every one, it's appointed for every man to die, right? That's in the Word of God. So all of us in our life one day, we are going to die. And so this table, it represents our death. So we know this. We know that in everybody's life, there's going to be a day that you are born. And we know that in everybody's life, that there is going to be a day that you die. And so what happens is between birth and death, there are some issues that happen in our life that are very devastating to us. Does that make sense? I mean, if everybody in this room, you've lived long enough, you know that there's some times in our lives that have been very devastating to us. It could be a divorce. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be some sin that you regret. It could be the way your parents and you all got together. It could be anything. It's just a time of life. Because in this world, it's not perfect, right? And since the world's not perfect, we're going to go through some rough times. So since I've talked about divorce care, I'm just going to use divorces. Let's just say that this represents like somebody that went through a divorce, okay? And so this is the danger of what's happening. Between here and here, so between your birth and your death, this tragic thing happens to you. This is just a dot on your whole life. Does that make sense to you? This event, whatever it is, whatever this event that was either a sin or a tragic thing that happened to you, if you think in your own life, you can name whatever it was in your life. But let's say it was a divorce, and what I try to say to them is this. This divorce that you're going through, even though it's a very tragic time in your life, God does not want you to let this one event, this one dot, this one thing that happens in your whole life from your birth to your death, He does not want this to define who you are. Does that make sense? Because God is a God of love, and God is a God of hope. And so if we do not forget what is behind us, if we do not let God minister to us, what's going to happen is we're going to let some event that happens to us, We're going to let that event define us from that time that that event happened all the way until our death. Does that make sense? And God never intended us to live that way, because God wants you to live in such a way of hope and glory that is in Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that's the danger about looking back is this. If we look back, or if we look at things that have happened in our past, that defines who we are. We miss out on a lot of blessings that God wants for us. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And so my prayer for you tonight is this. Whatever it is in your past, whatever it is in, you know, whether it's a sin or a relationship or just whatever it is, something that comes to your mind, I'm here to say to you that God does not want you, does not want that to define who you are. Who you are is based on God's love for you. Does that make sense? It's not based on some event that happened in your life, let's say 10 years ago or 5 years ago or even yesterday. That's the danger of looking back. So I looked in the Bible to say, does the Bible really have anything to say about that, about looking back? And what advice does the Word of God give us about looking back? And I found some areas in the Bible that it talked about. And that is this. Number one is this, and on your sheet you can fill this out. According to the Scriptures, looking back is not wise. It's not very wise. If you turn to Ecclesiastes 7:10, and you can either write it down or you can turn to it right now, but if you turn to Ecclesiastes 7:10, this is what the Scripture says. It says, do not say, so this is what it's saying, do not say, why were the old days better than these? Now, when you say that phrase, what are you doing? You're looking back. And so the Bible says, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. So the Bible is telling us that one of the issues that we have to look at, and the reason why it's not good to look back, is because looking back is not wise according to what God's Word says. And I could understand that. Can you imagine that this is the event that happened in your life? And here you are 15 years down the road and you look back. And whether you look back and say, oh, those days were better, or those days were not better, or those days were this, you're still focusing on back and not focusing on God moving you which way? Forward. And God always wants to move you forward. He wants you to move you forward in your life, to grow in Him, to feel His grace, to feel His love, to move you in a direction that He wants to. Because God knows this, if you are His child, then when you get to this point in your life's not over, is it? This point is just the beginning of your eternal life with Christ. And so when He says it's not wise to look back, sometimes looking back just brings heartache and depression. And many of us in our lives, sometimes we do look back at events that have happened all throughout our life. The older we are, the more events we have. The older we are, the more regret we might have. And sometimes the devil can get in our mind and say, you know, if this didn't happen, or if this person didn't do this, or if this person didn't do this, and the next thing you know, your whole heart is filled with regret, or your whole heart is filled with sorrow, or your whole heart is filled with depression, because you are looking back at an event, and God never wants that event to control your life. God is the one that should control your life. And so when you turn and look back, God's saying to us, listen, I just want to share this with you from my word. It's really not wise to look back. Now, according to this scripture in Ecclesiastes, he's saying it's not even wise to look back and say, oh, I remember those good old days. Because with God, every day is a good old day. Does that make sense? with God, every day forward with God is better than any day you might have had back there with sin. Because every day is a new day with the Lord. And every day the Lord has created you to be a new creation. And so looking back, God's saying to you, listen, I just want to share with you, it's not wise to look back. I'm not saying that. God's saying that. And so whatever event this is, and whatever sin it might be, or some event that happened in your life that you keep looking back at, I'm just here to share with you today that God's really trying to say to us and everybody in this room, you know, it's probably not wise to do this because I got something so much better for you this way. And so look forward. Look forward to me. Look forward to that day when you spend eternity with me. You know, for some people, that would really free some people, wouldn't it? Because some of us are looking back at an event even today that happened maybe 20 years ago, and it still controls your emotions. And you still feel some bitterness in you. And you might still feel some hatred in you. Or you still may feel some guilt inside of your heart. And see, all that's of the devil. All that's completely of the devil. Because if you've asked Jesus Christ in your heart, are all our past sins, have they been forgiven, yes or no? Yes. But is all our future sins, are those forgiven? Yes. And yet here it is, and it may be 10 years down the road, and if we look back, what happens? And God's saying, that's not very wise. We shouldn't be doing that. Now, the second thing God says is he says this. He says, sometimes looking back gets in the way of God's purpose. That's a pretty good one, isn't it? Sometimes looking back gets in the way of God's purpose. Now, as soon as I said looking back, almost everybody in this room probably thought of an example in the Old Testament. How many people have heard of Lot's wife? Did she look back? Yeah, she looked back. You know, Lot, him and Abraham, they met together. There was not enough land to feed all their animals. So Abraham looks at Lot and says, you take this, you pick wherever you want to go. And so Lot picked and set up his camp outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. Then we read the Bible a little bit more, and the Bible says a little bit later that Lot is not outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot is in Sodom and Gomorrah now, and they're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you read a little bit later in the scriptures that he's just not in Sodom and Gomorrah, but Lot is at the city gates of Sodom and Gomorrah, which means that the time he's lived there, he's become somebody important. That's why he's at the city gates. So he's gone all the way from being outside Sodom and Gomorrah to being in Sodom and Gomorrah, and then now he's at the city gates. Well, you know, if you don't know the story, it's just kind of like this. And angels came to them and said, you need to get out of here. Now, why did they need to get out of there? Because God saw how evil this city was, and so God was going to go ahead and destroy this city. And so then he said, run for your lives. He said, don't look back. Don't look back. He just said that. God said that to Lot and his family because God had a purpose for Lot and his family. Does that make sense? I mean, other than God's love and grace toward them, God had a purpose to say, I want you to run for your lives. I don't want you to look back. I just want you to run so you're not going to be killed. Because God's judgment was about to come down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, the scripture says this in Genesis 19:26. So if you want to read this, this is all in Genesis 10 farther on. But Lot's wife behind him looked back. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about not looking back. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. So here they are, they're running, run for your lives, don't look back. And Lot's wife looks back. Now, a lot of people can say, okay, well, what was that? Why did she look back? I mean, that's going to be debated forever and ever. she could have been looking back because she already misses Sodom and Gomorrah because it's already became such a big part of her. But whatever point was, God had another purpose for them, and Lot's wife went ahead and looked back. Now, I'm going to say this tonight. I doubt if any of us look back at our past, we're just going to be a pile of salt. That's not what I'm saying this for. I'm saying this that a lot of times when we look back, it affects our purpose that God has for our life moving forward. Because we spend all our time looking back at what we might have had, and God wants us to move forward. That's why the scripture says in Isaiah, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing that now springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That's why he says in Isaiah that fair thing, "Remember not the former things." So God's saying, just like he was saying to Lot's wife, don't look back because I have a purpose for you in your life. I have something important for you. Ever since the day you were born, now understand this, ever since the day you were born, the scripture says that God knew you before you were even born. Do you agree with that? I mean, that's what the Word of God says. So God knew you, so God knew that you were going to accept Him as personal Lord and Savior. And so what it is now it's to go from the time you're born to the time you die. And the devil, when you ask Jesus Christ in your heart, the devil's trying to keep you from Jesus. But then when you found Jesus Christ and you asked Jesus Christ in your heart, now the devil's trying to make you unhappy. He's trying to make you full of guilt because he knows if he can make a Christian unhappy and full of guilt, he knows that they can't do God's purpose. So God's purpose for your life, everybody in this room, God's purpose for your life from the very beginning of time, because he knew before you were even born, he knew that you were going to ask him into his heart. And he knew that your life was going to be a purpose toward God, even to the end of your days. And he knew that. And so what the devil's going to try to do after you ask Jesus in your heart is put items or issues or past sins or regrets or incidences or something in your life to keep you from seeing the purpose of God. And that's why it's saying, forget the former things. God's saying, I'm bigger than anything in your life. Forget all that. Now, what he's saying here, it's hard for humans to forget. Now, the third thing he says, and that's the third thing on here, looking back keeps us from seeing the hope in Jesus Christ. The scripture is clear when it says about Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, and to give you a future and a hope." So God, looking at you, has a purpose for you, and that purpose is one of greatness and one of hope, and as the scripture says right here, a future and a hope. So no matter what's happened in your life, no matter what incident or past sin or anything that's happened in your life, God still has a purpose for your life, always had a purpose for your life, and he wants you to move forward for that purpose in your life. And the reason you can move forward is because there's always hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? There is always hope in Jesus Christ. Hope has to be on your heart to realize no matter what's happened in your life, Jesus Christ gives you hope. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say that you hadn't gone through some hard things, and people go through hard issues in their life. But I'm here to say that you can make it through these issues with God's help and with God's strength, because in Jesus Christ there is always hope. And God is stronger than anything the devil can throw in your way. And we're going to look at that real fast. And that is this. when you have hope in your life, you really have everything. Hope is found in the promises God has given to you. That is God's hope in your life. God promises freedom from sin when you ask Him into your heart. He's already given you that if you've asked Jesus in your heart. We find hope in the Bible on many, many, many areas. And I'm going to give you four, and that's kind of how we're going to end this. Because I don't want you to leave here thinking about your past. I want you to leave here thinking about your future and the hope that God gives you. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, that He gives you hope and salvation. Praise the Lord. You have been saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And on the third day, He rose again. And there's hope and salvation. It says, for grace you are saved through faith, and that not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works that any man could boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it's saying here, there's hope in salvation. If you're saved in this room tonight, raise your hand. If you're saved in this room tonight and you just raise your hand, I'm here to tell you there's hope in that salvation. And it says here in that scripture that He created you for good works which God prepared beforehand. Now, I'm going to tell you that that's what God did for us. But many times, even in our walk with Christ, we sin, don't we? Many times we just do the wrong thing. And I'm here to say, even though you might have done the wrong thing, God still has a purpose and a plan for your life if you get on your knees and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and build that fellowship back with God. Even if you're saved, even after you're saved, you ask God to forgive you of that sin and move on. This incident, this issue that's bringing so much pain in your life or guilt in your life or regret in your life, that's just a tool of the devil trying to get you off track. But God's saying, listen, you are My workmanship. That's what God's saying to you. And it says that beforehand, He knew and God had prepared all for you to have a purpose in your life. That's why you have hope and salvation. That's why salvation is so great. Because salvation, there's nothing we can do to lose it. That's how much God loves you. No matter how much we mess up. Now, our goal is to try not to mess up. Does that make sense? I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it makes sense that we try not to sin or we try not to mess up. But the fact is, sometimes we're just going to mess up. It's a battle between the spirits. It's spiritual warfare. That's what we're in. But yet the hope that God's given us is that because you are saved, that is forgiven. And He has a purpose for you. So I asked the congregation, I asked myself, listen, let's stop living in the past of the regrets and the sins of the past. No matter who tries to remind you, no matter when they try to remind you, if it's not the devil, sometimes it can be other people. Because you have a hope in Jesus Christ because you are saved. And from the beginning of time, God has had a purpose for your life. Don't let the devil win. And see, that's what it's saying right here. It's saying that you do have this hope. You know, when I was talking about hope in Jesus Christ, see, when we have hope in Jesus Christ, if you look in Luke 9, everybody in this room that's in a connection group, if you do the Bible study for life, what you're going to see is last Sunday they talked about the story about where all the people come to Jesus and is telling them, Jesus says, follow Me. And He says to them, follow Me. And the people say, well, let me go bury my father first. And the other person says, well, let me go say goodbye to these people first. And Jesus has an interesting scripture in that, and it's in Luke 9. Let me see if I can have it written down right here. But in Luke 9, Jesus said to them, "No one who puts his hand to a plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So what he's saying to that scripture is this. He's saying the danger of looking back is this. If I've got a plow and I'm pushing the plow, okay, how many of here in here are over the age of 50? Raise your hand. You know, there's a phenomenon that happens when you're about 50. And it happens a little time after. Have you ever noticed that when you're driving down the road and you're driving in your car and you look that way, that all of a sudden, for some strange reason, your car starts to go that way? You ever notice that? I don't know what it is. And you know, it's really weird, because if you look this way, your car starts going this way again. But that fits that point. Because the Bible's saying no one that's plowing that looks back. Now, he's saying fit for the kingdom of God. He's just talking about really cannot live for the kingdom of God or for God, because if you're looking back, what's going to happen to that plow? God's got a straight path for you and a straight purpose for you. And if you look back with that plow, you're going to go over here like this. Pretty soon, before you know it, you're running into cows and everything like that, because your plow's going the wrong way. That's why the scripture says no one that has a plow and looks back is fit, because they won't be able to plow a straight line that God wants you to plow. And so when he says this hope that I have for you, he wants you to be able to go in this straight line, because he's got a straight line, and a straight line to Jesus is better than any crooked line that you can take. It's just, that's the way it is. And so he has hope in salvation. The second thing is this, he has hope in eternal life. It says in the scriptures, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to the will, he will hear us." So he gives you hope because of this reason. This day that comes when you close your eyes in what we call death, you're not dead. Your soul goes to heaven for eternity, which is a lot better than the 80, 90, or 100 years you might live here on the earth. I think God has us here on earth now for this, one of the sole purposes God has us here on earth is not to make a heaven on earth, because we're never going to be able to do that. The reason he has us here on earth is to try to take as many people with us, because we have a hope in eternal life that other people don't have. That's why our goal in life is to try to win as many people to the Lord as possible, because they will go for eternal life, because there's hope in eternal life. You know how long eternity is? Nobody knows. But that's where you're going to be if you've asked Jesus in your heart. And there should be hope in that. Even to know that when you had this issue or this sin or this thing's happened in your past and you look back, that's why God doesn't want you to look back. Because if you're looking back, you're not looking forward to eternity. And God wants you to look forward to the hope that is in eternity. It also gives you hope in trials. 1 Peter says this, "Blessed be God and Father in Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into the living hope," there it is again, "through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you." See, God's got a lot of stuff for you in heaven. Do you know that? And it's not a harp in a cloud. That's not what's going to happen. He's got some exciting things going on in heaven. And he's got that for you. That's what it says. And those things in heaven are imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And then he says this, "God's power as being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. In this you rejoice." He's saying you rejoice that God's got all this for you. Do you rejoice that God's got all this for you? See, if you're looking back, it's hard to rejoice, because all you're doing is regret. He wants you to rejoice, not regret. And that's very important. He wants you to rejoice in him. And then it says this, "Though now for a little while it's necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested the genuineness of your faith." So many times, well, the reason we go through trials is the scripture says, that's in 1 Peter 3, by the way. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 6. That's where that scripture is. And so what it says is, the reason we go through trials is many times, it's just to test the genuineness of our faith. God doesn't cause these trials. Sometimes God allows these trials to happen, and it tests our faith. And what God wants you to know is this. God wants you to know that He's got an eternity. He's got a heaven waiting for you. I can't wait for the day that we're in heaven. It's going to be a time of celebration in the presence of Jesus Christ. And so what He's saying to you is sometimes you're going to have some trials here, but God never intended any trial that happened in your life, any problem or sin or regret. He never wanted us to look back at that and regret it so we miss the importance and the joy that He has for us until we die. And you take that hold in your heart and you let that sink into your heart and you let that move to your heart from your head, because in your head you know it's right, but in your heart. And what's going to happen is the day that you die and you take your last breath on your bed, you're going to feel peace, because you know you're going to spend eternity, because there's hope in Jesus Christ. And see, that's just a blessing to be able to have in your life. Don't let the devil rob you of that. Don't let the devil rob you of your past. Don't let him do it. That's the devil's work, because God's got hope in front of you. And the last one is this, hope in the unseen. And basically what that's saying is this, so we do not lose heart. So he's saying in 2 Corinthians in 4, 16 through 18, he's saying, do not lose heart. This outer self is wasting away. Amen? I mean, it's wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. See, if the devil can get you, he's going to, I mean, our outer self is already being decayed day by day. And so the devil wants to ruin your inner self. And even though Jesus is there, if you're full of bitterness and guilt and anger and regret over your past or over looking back, what's going to happen is the devil's going to steal from you the joy that God wants to give you now. We should be the happiest people in the world because we know we have hope in the unseen. One day the unseen is going to be seen. And that is going to be God in heaven. And what God's going to do is you're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And you're going to look face to face in the face of Jesus Christ. He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And you know what He's going to do then? He's going to reach out and it says He's going to take you upon living water. And He's going to wipe every tear from your eye. And it's all, you're just going to go, ah. And the devil doesn't like that. And so he's going to do whatever he can do here on earth to make you regret, feel past sins, look back. And so I'm just here in this Bible study tonight just to say to you, let's stop looking back. Finally, once and for all, this day, give that to God. And move forward with the hope in salvation, the hope in eternal life, even hope in your trials, even hope in the unseen, because that unseen one day is going to be seen, and it's going to be the glory of God. God's got so much for you in front of your life. God's got so much for you tomorrow, even tonight, even next week. Let's not waste it by looking back. The Bible says that's not wise. The Bible says it gets in the way of God's purpose. And God, most of all, says it really keeps us from seeing the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Do you need hope tonight? The only hope you'll ever be able to have in your life is through Jesus Christ. Give that to Jesus tonight. Let's bow our heads. You know, we talked about looking back. I think it's okay to look back to the day that you asked Jesus Christ into your heart. I think that's perfectly fine. I want everybody in this room, just right now in your heart to God, look back to that day that you asked Him into your heart. And just thank God. Thank God for that salvation. Thank that He saved you and gave you hope on that day. Hope of eternal life. Hope of salvation. Hope in your trials. Hope in the unseen. Just thank God. For our hearts should be full. And then ask God tonight, if you're saved, you have Jesus in your heart tonight, just ask God tonight, say, God, I just ask that you will help me each day. Give me the strength not to look back. God, help me. Give me the strength not to look back at this or that or this sin or that relationship or this person that did me wrong. God, let me just give all that to you tonight. Because I want all of us in this room, starting with me, to be able to look forward to the hope that's before us. And God's got great things for everybody in this room. But you got to move forward. Maybe you're here tonight and I've been talking about this hope and salvation and you say to yourself, well, I've never asked Jesus in my heart. Well, you can do that tonight. If you're here tonight and you do not have Jesus in your heart, you just say this prayer silently. Just repeat after me in your heart. Just say, Dear Jesus, I need you in my heart tonight. I want that hope. Come into my heart, forgive my sins, and make me a Christian. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. So tonight when we have the invitation, if you're here tonight, you need prayer, we want to pray with you. If you ask Jesus in your heart, you can come forward during the invitation time. If you want to join our church, you can do that tonight. We just want God to have its time during this invitation time. But we want all of us to know this, there's always hope in your life. So Father, as we get ready to have an invitation, I pray now, Father, that if someone got saved, they'll come forward, Father, if someone wants to join the church. But Father, we thank you for your hope and how much it means to us. And Father, help us as we move forward. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.